Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today thanking you for your grace and your mercy and your love. Yes, God, we just thank you so much for everything. We thank you for Eric and his ministry through song. And Lord, we thank you for the choir. We thank you for these men that take the time out of their day, take time to learn to sing, spend time to perfect these songs. Lord, I thank you for these songs because they bless my heart. I don't think I'd come, Lord, if we couldn't do some singing. So, Lord, sometimes I feel like that's all we need to do. We can just go on home after we sing because we've been so blessed. Thank you, Lord, tonight for everything. Thank you for all the men that have come here tonight, the spirit that's in the place. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here with us. Lord, we thank you that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have trusted him, he is our earnest, our down payment to guarantee our salvation one day when we die. Lord, I ask today that you'd speak through me, that you'd correct us, instruct us, rebuke us, Lord, where we need to be worked on, Lord. And we ask most of all, if somebody doesn't know Jesus tonight, today would be the first day of the rest of the life. Today would be the day that they come to know Jesus and find out what true living's all about. Yes, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to be looking at Philippians 2 today, and we're going to be in... Actually, I'm going to kind of back up just a little bit to Philippians 2, 17 and 18. And, you know, we were talking about in the beginning of chapter 2 that Paul was talking about consolation in Christ and the comfort of love and affection and fellowship of the Spirit. And he talked about letting nothing be done through selfish ambition and conceit. And let's look out for other people. And then he talked about what the example of Jesus Christ and what he did, how he humbled himself and became a man, and he died on the cross because he loved us so much that he wasn't looking out for his own interests, but he was looking out for the interest of others. He could have stayed in heaven. He didn't have to come down here, but he looked out for us. The only way we were going to get to heaven is because Jesus came. And he even humbled himself to the point of dying on that old ugly cross, that mean cross, that terrible cross, the worst death that we could imagine. And then old Paul, he goes on into verse 12 and he starts talking. He says, based on all that, you know, that we need to continue to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And he says, do all things without complaining, without disputing. And to live our lives as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You know, and he starts talking about how he's being poured out as a sacrifice. How he's given his life on top of that he's the small sacrifice on top of what the Philippians have done. The Philippians are giving the big sacrifice. And he says, I'm just a libation. I'm just the final small sacrifice, the final offering on top of the big sacrifice that y'all have offered. And so tonight what we're going to do is, as we back up to 17, we got through 18 last time. And what we're going to do is we're going to back up just a little bit because, you know, we were looking at Christ and the example he gave us, how to live his life selflessly, without conceit, without ambition, that he became a servant because of us. And, you know, Paul tells us all these things. He talks about the duties of a Christian. I was thinking about this as I was reading it. Sometimes you can read a book and try to learn something, or you can go on the internet and try to get some of this online training that they have so much today. But there's nothing like personal instruction, nothing like a personal demonstration. And so what we're going to get here is he talked about Jesus, and Jesus is a little lofty. We could never attain what Jesus did, but we're going to see some models of spiritual faith, of selfless, humble, sacrificial, spiritual lives. I could read about it all day long, but when I see a life, when I see that being lived out, then I can get hold of that. You know, I can see that it's possible. I can see that it can be done. And so that's what Paul wants to do. He's first of all talking about himself here, and we're going to see three models here. We're going to see Paul, then we're going to see Timothy, and hopefully we'll get through Epaphroditus tonight and see how far we get. But Paul, first of all, in verse 17 of chapter 2, said, "Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me." He says here, I'm being poured out. He says, I'm into prison. You remember, Paul's locked up in the Roman prison. Remember that? That was back quite a while back, a few months ago. But Paul's still locked up in that prison. He still can't get around like he wants to. He can't go do the things he wants to do. But Paul's locked up, and he's making it. He's not complaining. He's not griping. He's not whining. He's not crying. So he's doing what he said back here in verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. He's doing that. And he says, I'm being poured out. My life could be gone in a minute. I could be killed for my faith because I'm locked up now and I'm waiting trial and I'm waiting to see the outcome of this thing and I don't know what's going to happen. But he says, rejoice. You know, I'm being poured out on the sacrifice of your service. And he says, be glad. Rejoice with me, and I'll rejoice with you all. And then he says, for the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. I'm glad and I'm rejoicing, so you be glad and rejoice. Amen. He says, you remember he said back in chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live as Christ, to die as gain. And somebody said that, you know, we either live our life in chapter 1, verse 21, where we say to live as Christ and to die as gain, or else we're in chapter 2, verse 21, and he says, for all seek their own, not the things that are of Jesus Christ. We need to ask ourselves, where are we? Are we living for Christ? We don't care whether it costs us our life. Or are we like the others? We seek our own interest. You know, we got to think about that. Everybody's so self-centered today. But this man, Paul, he's pouring himself as a sacrifice for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to do with our lives. We need to pour it out no matter what it cost us. We need to serve others. That's what Jesus Christ did. Amen. Was it 1 John 3:16 says, greater love has no man than to lay his life down for his friends. And so if Jesus laid down his life for us, can't we do that also? I mean, if we know we're going to heaven anyway, it doesn't matter. Paul says to live as Christ, die as gain, absent from the body is present with the Lord. So what are we going to do? I mean, it doesn't matter if I get to go to heaven a little bit earlier. Hey, I'm in the presence of the Lord. We always talk about, whoa, I don't want to lose my life and this, that, and the other. But we talk about it like it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you go on and go to heaven if He wants you to go. Don't worry about it. If He's through with you, He's through with you. He's going to take you on home. And so let's go on home if He's through with us. And don't worry about it. He knows best. You know, like I said, Father knows best. We don't hear that much, but Father knows best, and He knows what's right. And even if we lose somebody, even if we go, and they say, well, He died so young, and His life was a waste. But if you sacrificed your life for Jesus Christ, it's never a waste. But if you died in your sin and went to hell, it was a waste. That was a waste. It's going to be a waste for all eternity. And so Paul just says, hey, I'm glad. I'm in the prison. Hey, so what? I'm rejoicing. I can serve right here. I'm free to serve. I got some people helping me. So you rejoice with me. And so then he starts looking in verse 19. And then, you know, Paul, he always took everything and he passes it through the will of God. He's not going to jump out there and just do anything, right? But listen to this. He says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may also be encouraged when I know your state. First of all, he says in verse 19, that I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. Then if you drop down to verse 24, he says, but I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. So what did he do? He didn't say that he was going to make plans without the Lord. He says, I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, if the Lord decides that He doesn't want me to get out of here and He decides Timothy's not going to come, then he's not going to come because that's what the Lord decided. But I'm going to pass this through the will of God. I'm not going to try to go ahead and do it in spite of what the Lord says. You know, we're going to force it on through. I'm going to make it happen because that's what I want to happen. You know, and whether you're in here or where you're at, you know, we're all kind of in a holding pattern, a waiting pattern of some sort. Maybe we're not always where we want to be. But the whole bottom line is God has it timed. Amen. You know, I talked about that in 2:5 through 11, that he said, humble yourself and in due time, at the proper time, God will exalt you. The same thing, you know, you hang out and you do what you're supposed to do and be faithful where you're at. Serve without complaining, without disputing, and do what you're supposed to. And then at the proper time, he's going to send you where he wants you to be. Maybe a bigger ministry, maybe something, he's got something. Maybe it's something that looks a little smaller, but that's where he wants you. And so wherever he sends us, that's where we need to be. And we don't need to try to be somewhere that the Lord doesn't want us to be. Listen what he says. He says, I trust in the Lord Jesus, send Timothy to you shortly. What? That I may be encouraged when I know your state. This man's in prison. He's locked up. And he says, I want to send Timothy so I can find out how you're doing. Is that selfless? Is that without selfless ambition? I mean, he's looking out for Timothy here. He's looking out for these people, the Philippians. He's looking out for them, and he's not worried about himself. He says, I want to know how you're doing. I want to find out how you're doing. And in verse 20, he says, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Man, I tell you, he says, I have no one like-minded. He says, you ever heard the term kindred spirit? You know, one soul. You got somebody that you can just look at them and look them in the eye and you nod your head and you know what they're thinking and they know what you're thinking because your mind's on the same wavelength. And that's what he says. He says, Timothy and I are on the same wavelength. He's just like me. He's a great man, you know. And Paul, you know, he's an apostle. He's one called by the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy, now he was a pastor, and we're going to look at Epaphroditus in a few minutes. He was just a layman. We don't know that he had any position at all in the church. And so we're going to see three men from three different prospects also. Not only an apostle, one called by the Lord Jesus Christ, had to see him personally, but a pastor and then a layman. So no matter where you're at in the church, you're just as important as the pastor. You're just as important as anybody else, the elders, the deacons. You know, he says that the hand can't function without the feet without the hand, and the hand without the head. And we all function together, so I'm no more important than you are. We just got different functions. Like the pastor said, we got different callings, different places. We got different things to do, but there are none of them are any less important than the rest of them. But he says that Timothy is like-minded and that he will sincerely care for your state. John 10, I believe it is, he talks about that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know, and he talks about the shepherds in the Old Testament. I mean, that's what they would do. The shepherds lay down their life for the sheep. They were out there to protect the sheep, and that's what the job of the pastor was to do, and that's what the pastor did. If he was a good one, he wasn't looking to fleece the flock. He wasn't to take anything away from them. But he was out there to look out for them and do the best thing for them. Amen. But now we got so many people today that want to look out for their own self, go to the job that gets the most money, the highest position, the biggest church, the highest numbers. They're not there because they sincerely care for the people. But he says that Timothy will naturally, as some of the Bible say, naturally or sincerely, will care for your state. I mean, he's a compassionate man. He's a loving man. He's a caring man. He's a people person. He's going to go out there and he's going to take care of you because he sincerely loves people, cares for people, wants to see people do their best. Sometimes that's all it takes. We all got potential in us with the Lord Jesus Christ, but if we sit back on our haunches and don't get up and don't allow the Lord to use us because we don't think we can be used, that we're not good enough, but sometimes we need somebody to encourage us. So Timothy, he's a man of service. Paul's sacrificial, and he's rejoicing. Now Timothy, he's over here, and he's serving, you know, and he's rejoicing. And he's going to do whatever Paul tells him to do. He's been with Paul since about the first missionary journey, and we don't know a whole lot about Timothy. We know his grandmother was a Jew, his mother was a Jew, Lois and Eunice, and we know his father was a Greek. And he went out and ministered to the Gentiles with Paul, and he was qualified because he had been raised up in the Greek culture. He wasn't raised in the Jewish traditions, but he was with Paul. He had been with Paul quite a while. You know, when it says in Acts, 16:2, I believe it is, it talks about that Timothy was well spoken of by all the churches, that they knew that he was a good person. And so he's going to send Timothy because he says, he's just like me. He's my one kindred spirit. He's going to look out for you just like I would. I don't have anybody else. You get that? He says, I have nobody else. Nobody else. I mean, Paul here, maybe he's in the last 5-10 years of his ministry, but he's been ministering for a long time. I mean, he's been around, and he's had a lot of people come to the Lord during the time he's been ministering, and he's been out there. And he says, after all these years, that I have no one but Timothy that's like-minded. If we got one person that we can grow up in the Lord and disciple, that comes out great, we got one good friend that comes out that way, then we done something. A lot of people came to the Lord, but a lot of people deserted Paul. You remember in chapter 1, he talked about that some were preaching out of strife, out of contention, that they were campaigning for office. That word contention meant that they were out kind of seeking his office. They were jealous of him. They had seen his prosperity. They had seen how the Lord had used him, and they wanted some of that. And they wanted to be a part of that. And they were saying that Paul's locked up because he's done something wrong. The Lord's put him on the shelf or whatever. He had some good friends like Job did, you know, so-called friends. They were going to say that he did something wrong. You know, some of them were preaching out of love, but he says, Paul said, I rejoice because Jesus Christ is preached. No matter what, some people are going to get saved because Jesus Christ is preached. And so he says, you know, hey, as long as these people are doing this, they've gone the wrong direction. But I got Timothy here, you know, and I'm not trying to say he had two other men that were real close with him and had been on some of the missionary journeys, and I believe it was Luke and Aristarchus, but they had apparently been sent somewhere else. But I think Timothy was probably, anyway, he would have sent Timothy had they been there, because he said he was the only one that was just like him. And Paul was a great man of God. You know, there's not many Pauls at all. The Bible says he's called not many mighty, not many strong, not many powerful. But he's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise. There's very few Pauls. There's a few more Timothys. And there's a lot of Epaphroditus we can identify with. But he says that all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. You know, he says, if you put the Lord our God first, seek His righteousness and His kingdom, then all these things will be added. But we got to put Jesus Christ first. Listen to this in verse 22. He says, but you know His proven character. That word comes from a word, dokimos, means proven character. You know, today we send people off to schools, and I have nothing wrong with schools. I have nothing against them. But, you know, a lot of times we need to bring people in from underneath us sometimes. I mean, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, as they were growing the churches, a lot of times they would bring people directly out of the church. They wouldn't send a committee out to search all over the world to find a pastor, but they would train the men, and they would prove these men within the church. Said a deacon must first be tested, an elder must be tested. And so these men, Timothy, had been tested in the school of life. He hadn't been tested in the school, had a lot of head knowledge, but he didn't have any practical knowledge to go out and put it to use. He had been out there on the field with Paul, preaching and teaching and working on the missionary journeys. And he had proven to Paul that he was a good man, that he was going to do what he was supposed to do. And if Paul could send him anywhere he wanted him to go, he'd go. If he told him to stay somewhere, he'd stay. He was basically at Paul's beck and call. If he wanted him to do something, he did it. Because Timothy served alongside Paul. And he wanted to do what Paul wanted him to do because he knew Paul was leading him closer to God. And he says that as a son with his father, he served with me. You know, like a child with his father. He looked up to him. He thought a lot of Paul because he knew he was a great man. He knew that he was doing God's will. And he looked up to him as a father. But yet, Paul said he served with me, not under me. But he served with me, alongside me, in the gospel. And he says, therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. You know, he's going to send him, but he's got something else he needs for him to do right then. But he says, I'm going to send him as soon as I can, because I know he's going to come and treat y'all right and do the things that he needs to do, because I trust him and he's just like me. And so then he said that he was going to come shortly, he hoped also. You know, and he probably did come a little bit later. He spent 2 years in that Roman prison. He got out for a little while, and then he was imprisoned again, and he didn't get out the next time. Remember back at chapter 1, he thought he would get out. And he says that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. And he said that in 25, that he says that I know I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. He didn't want to stay just because he was going to be there and be with them, but he wanted to stay there because he was going to help them grow spiritually. Amen. And that's why he wanted to send Timothy. We've seen Paul, and then we've seen Timothy, and now we're going to look at Epaphroditus. Now, Epaphroditus, it originally, the word meant favored of Aphrodite. And it came to later on mean lovely or charming. But it also had the meaning of risk-taking. Anybody that was called an Epaphroditus, that they would say that they were risking their life. Because see, literally Epaphroditus, he came to Paul at the risk of his own life to come and serve him in Rome, to find him and to serve him. And so the Philippians, they sent Epaphroditus to Paul because Paul had some needs. Remember I said that when you were locked up back then, that you didn't have all the things supplied to you. You didn't have all your food, you didn't have your clothes, you didn't have all these things given. And so they had to send somebody. And apparently Paul was had to even rent the place where he was at, where he was locked up in. And he was under house arrest, but he was locked up and he had to rent the place. Had to have somebody bring him money to pay for the things that he needed. You know, he had to pay his own way to be in prison. Apparently the Philippians sent Epaphroditus to bring him some money, and we don't know, to minister to him, to take care of him, because he needed some help in the ministry. He had Timothy, but he said he didn't have anybody else, but he needed Epaphroditus. Now listen to these credentials that he talks about Epaphroditus. In verse 25, he says, Epaphroditus is my brother. First of all, he says he's my brother in the Lord. He's my fellow brother. We have a love for each other because we serve alongside each other. And then he says that he's my fellow worker. And that's one of these terms that Paul liked to use a lot. He said, my fellow worker. That he wasn't talking down to him, was he? He was saying, my fellow worker. We tend to talk about people that, well, he worked for me, or he served me, or I was his boss. But Paul didn't say any of that thing. He said he was my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier. He was my fellow soldier in the war against the devil. Ephesians 6:11-12 says, for we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and rulers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, and when that man gets in your face, sometimes might be the old devil behind him, you know, just trying to get him in your face, trying to tick you off. That's what happens. We got to remember that song, Onward Christian Soldiers. It wasn't written for the fun of it, but it was written because we're really, truly in a war. Epaphroditus apparently knew how to fight the Christian war. He knew how to battle the devil. He knew how to win when it was needed. To win for Christ. And he says, he was my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier, but your messenger. That's like a small apostle. I mean, he was a sent one. He wasn't sent in the terms that Jesus Christ had called Paul and them. You had to be seen Jesus Christ to be called an apostle, capital A apostle. But now he was a sent one. He was sent by the church to minister to Paul, to be a messenger, to bring some news to Paul, to minister to him. And he says, he ministered to my need. But then listen at this in verse 26. He says, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Epaphroditus was longing for him and was distressed because they had heard he was sick. He wasn't upset because he was sick, but he was distressed because they had heard he was sick. Have you noticed something here? All three of these men, who are they worried about? They're not worried about themselves, are they? Paul's in prison. He's worried about the Philippians. He's going to send Timothy to them. Timothy's going to go because he's worried about them too. And he knows that's what he needs to do. And then Epaphroditus, he's worried because he knows these people knows he was sick. And if you go on down here, he says, for indeed, he was sick almost to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. He was longing for him because he was upset. And that word distressed, you remember they talked about that Jesus was distressed in the garden, that because he knew it was getting close to the time to go on the cross. And this word distress speaks of strong emotion, that he was anxious for the Philippians, that he was worried about them because that they were having a problem because they had heard he was sick. The Bible tells us, he'll tell them later on in Philippians 4:7, I believe, to be anxious for nothing. So, but is he contradicting himself? No. He says, be anxious for nothing about yourself. Now, it doesn't hurt for us to be anxious for other people and to worry about other people in the sense that we want to make sure that they're okay in the Lord and we want to look out for them. I don't mean we sit there and worry, but we're kind of anxious because we want the best for them and we want to bring them up in the Lord and we want to take care of them. That's a good anxious, that we're looking out for other people and we're not worried about ourselves and what might happen to us. And so he was worried because they had heard he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow, grief upon grief, wave upon wave of sorrow. Paul said, hey, if this man would have died while he was serving me, I'd have been pretty upset. And we think about that. If somebody came to take care of you and they died while they were taking care of you and they lost your life, you'd be kind of upset. And you see, Paul was still worried. He was going to send Epaphroditus back to him. He said back at 25, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. See, he didn't want them to think that Epaphroditus was a sorry worker, that he wasn't a good person, that he wasn't, you know, useful to him. And so he said, well, they're going to be asking, why am I sending Epaphroditus back to him? And so I'm going to tell him why, because he's my brother, my fellow worker, my soldier. And he ministered to me. And he was longing for you all because he had heard you was sick. And if he'd have died on my hands, I'd have been upset because I didn't want him to die while he was here ministering to me. Amen. And he says, therefore, I sent him the more eagerly that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. See, Paul's looking out for the Philippians again. I sent him so that you may see and rejoice the more eagerly because he's come back to you. And I don't have to worry because he's not going to die here ministering to me. If he gets sick and dies, it might be over there, but it won't be because of me. And he's not saying that because he doesn't want to be responsible, but he's just looking out for the man. And so he says, I sent him the more eagerly, so that you may rejoice. He says in verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness. There it is again. Receive him with all gladness. and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. He says, receive him with gladness. There he is again, talking about gladness, rejoicing. I mean, he's talking about the joy of ministry. These men, they're ministering. They're joyful about it. They're not complaining and whining and crying about the people and the things they got to do, but they're out there ministering and saying, if I have to, I'll lose my life for the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what I'm here for. And that's what we need to do. We need to do whatever it takes. And so we need to think about that. He says that he needs to hold him in high esteem, because for the work of Christ, he came close to death. He literally gambled his life. He gambled his life. He risked it to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. Paul's kind of playing a little bit on words here, because, like I said, Epaphroditus come to mean risk taker. Says that what they used to do was right before they'd roll the dice, these people would say, Aphrodite. I mean, they would say Epaphroditus, because they were wanting the favor of Aphrodite on them, right? So they'd roll the dice, hoping a good number would come up. But he's saying here that literally he rolled the dice with his life, and he risked his life for the cause of Christ. He says he supplied what was lacking in your service towards me. Sometimes we can't always be where we want to be. We can't always do what we want to do. Sometimes we can send somebody. Sometimes we can send some money. Sometimes we can pray. But these people, they sent money and they prayed, apparently, and they also sent Epaphroditus to minister to them. And so they were given what they had. And the Philippians weren't rich. They weren't strong people, but as far as their money and things, but they supplied what was lacking for Paul because they loved him so much. And so I want to ask you today, you know, I wrote a little thing earlier today that I thought about, that it said, I went back to chapter 2 and I said, do all things without selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind or humility of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let us each look out not only for our own interest, but for the interest of others. What did Jesus say in Mark 10:45? He said that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And then what did I say a minute ago? 1 John 3:16 said that no greater love has a man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. So I want to ask you today, what are you sacrificing? Who are you serving? What are you doing for the cause of Jesus Christ? But if you don't know Jesus Christ today, your life is really not worth anything. You know, you can seek all your life like many of us have done, searched, trying to find some kind of meaning in life through all the wrong things, through women, through drugs, through all kinds of relationships. But you're never going to find it. Solomon tried it. He had more money than we ever thought about having, and he couldn't find it through all those things. So what makes us think we can find it? He said it all was vanity. He said nothing but serving the Lord Jesus Christ was worth anything. So I want to ask you today, if you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, then praise God. But if you don't know for sure today, if you died, that you'd go to heaven, then I want you to examine yourself and see today, are you willing to turn your life over to Jesus Christ? Because I've said before that he doesn't want to hurt us. He sent Jesus Christ here because he loved us. He said he sent him because he loved the world. He sent him not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he gives us rules and regulations because he doesn't want us to get hurt. It's not because he's some cosmic killjoy trying to take all the fun out of life. Man, these guys are having a blast up here singing. I have a blast listening to them. You know, I can have more fun now than I ever had when I did the things I did before.
Amen.
You know, and we think those things are fun. And the Bible says that sin is fun for a season. But then you got to pay. Then you got to pay. So you can pay me now and pay me later. You can be like the rich man that said that he'd tear down his barns and build them up, and that, you know, that his soul would have rest and he would just take it easy. But then the Bible said that God said, "You fool, your life will be required of you today. Your soul will be required." And so today, what do you want to do? Do you want to give up your life for Jesus Christ? Do you want to lose your life for Him? But it's not really losing it. It's giving your life to Him. You're already serving the devil. I don't know if you know that, but the Bible says that Jesus came to die and to be a ransom for many. Now, what's a ransom? We were kidnapped by the devil. He redeemed us, and He paid a ransom. That when He died on the cross for our sins, He paid that ransom to set us free from sin. We were slaves to sin. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're still a slave to sin. Now, who do you want to be a slave to? Jesus Christ, or you want to be a slave to the devil? Because I know one day I'm going to go to heaven.
Amen.
And I can live, and I'm a voluntary slave because I love Jesus Christ. Paul says I'm a bond servant, a willing servant of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, He puts in you the willingness and the want to serve Him. But you know, we serve the devil and we don't want to. You might think you do, but when you really think about it, you want to change your life. You want to do better. You want to do something different. And today you can through Jesus Christ. So what I want to do is I want to ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes right now. Tonight, right where you're at, if you feel that conviction tonight, if you feel that tugging on you, it says that you need to trust Jesus Christ, that you need to repent of your sins, that you need to be forgiven for your sins, then right where you're at, the Bible says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess with your mouth that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, if you believe with your whole heart, remember when you were a kid and you wanted that bicycle so bad and you couldn't wait till Christmas morning to see if it was under the tree or whatever it was you wanted. You remember how badly you wanted it? And if you want Jesus Christ today, if you want salvation like that, if you feel that calling right now that you need to do that, then you need to do it right now because the Bible says that today is the day of salvation and harden not your hearts. And so today, if you want to trust Jesus Christ, then right where you're at, in the quietness of your heart, this is for you, and this is for God. It's not for anybody around you right now, but I want this to be a private moment for you and God. And I want you to tell Him what's on your heart.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you meant it with your whole heart, with your whole being, with your mind, you understood the truth. With your will, you voluntarily surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And with your emotion, you ask for forgiveness because you know you're a sinner and you need to turn from your sin. The Bible says God has saved you. Thank y'all for letting me come to be with y'all tonight. God bless y'all.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right and their cries, "We want to have a real family." Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button. And we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you.